This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation, and we are now 3 hours from USA and Canada, the Four Nations final coming at you. We're going to have the play-by-play here for you right here on 105.3 The Fan. Had to do a lot of hard work behind the scenes, so salute to the Hockey Hawk, Gavin Spittle, for getting that done. And we're excited to have the presentation of that game. Now, how close is USA hockey to Canada hockey? I think for my entire lifetime, people have just considered it a non-starter. You know, not quite as big as the gap in soccer from the USA to Europe and South America, but substantial. Here's Eric Chiafalo with the latest on that development.
Yeah, this is like another country taking our football away from us. And All of a sudden now it's like, oh, whoa, the NFL might not be the best football league going in the world? Are you kidding me? That would be a bad day for our country. So I saw this this blog from my favorite hockey blogger, Mr. Jordy, and he laid some context out that I think is pretty nice, because we keep referring back to the 1980 stuff and the miracle and how, you know, people are tying this back to that.
Yes.
And I thought he brought some really good context to what tonight actually means and what it is sort of the culmination of for Team USA brought us.
Yeah, but they've The United States has covered a lot of ground in the junior hockey stuff.
Exactly.
That's okay. Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, that's certainly a part of it.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking that, like, you know, the more you kind of read into it, you're thinking, like, wait a minute, the U.S., when it comes to these junior tournaments, have done a really fine work the last several times out.
Yeah, he says in 1980, the U.S. team had absolutely no business going up against the Soviets and knocking off the greatest hockey powerhouse in the world. But 45 years later, here in 2025, this USA team is not an underdog. This isn't going to be some miraculous story about a ragtag bunch of kids shocking the world and winning one of the most shocking games ever. You have Stanley Cup champions on Team USA, first overall picks. You have 60-plus goal scorers. You have Vezina winners. And, of course, you have the two biggest lunatics in the sport right now, in the Tkachuk bros. So they're going to bring the extra violence and emotion to this game. But it's been a decade since we've actually gotten to see some true best-on-best matchups between the United States and Canada. And over the past 10 years, like you mentioned, Broadus, we've seen USA start to dominate at the junior level. They've won back-to-back World Juniors golds and have won 3 out of the last 5. You have a couple gold medals at the U18 World Championships. Everyone could see the United States quickly now closing the gap on Canada in terms of dominance. And the Four Nations face-off is really, it's the first event we actually get to see it all happen and come to fruition. So many of these guys on Team USA grew up playing through the National Development Program. These guys have all seen and felt how quickly that they have been closing the gap on Canada, and just in terms of development and stuff like that. And, you know, guys aren't leaving to go play junior in Canada anymore. And so just as all these guys were getting to the age where they would be able to represent the U.S. at the Olympics, the NHL stopped allowing their players to go over and compete. So these guys have been waiting their whole lives to represent the USA at the highest level, and now they finally have their chance. So I think it's even you, and then you add the layer of the anthem stuff and the political stuff. But I think even despite that, this Team USA has been hungry to prove, hey, we have closed the gap. And because they haven't gotten to showcase that at the Olympics, they haven't really gotten to prove it. Yeah. So you've had to just kind of mind your business about it and defer, have deference to Canada, who has reigned hockey forever. But now this tournament, and especially tonight, is the chance to really prove, no, we've been now for the last decade plus, we've been inching closer and closer, and now the time is ours to take that hockey baton forever.
Yeah, you feel like it's a team of destiny, and that can be very powerful at that point. Where has that narrative formed then that Canada is just better, like even going into the first game?
Yeah, I think that's
maybe they have the better two or three overall players.
Yes, I think when you look at the rosters, you kind of end up leaning Canada. Of course, the goaltender for Team USA is the best on the planet, so that's a huge advantage for Team USA. But yeah, I think it's just general deference to Canada because that's what it's always been. And now as we get closer to it and it's becoming the spectacle that it is, and it's like the number one sports story right now, and that's the perfect thing. Like you have this at a time where what is it really competing against? Nothing. Everybody's going all in. You have people that aren't hockey people going, dude, this is a moment. You mix in a little patriotism, high stakes, and nothing else to compete with it. Boom, let's go all in and treat this like a Thursday night sports night for the ages.
Yeah, I could see, you know, that sort of emotion having such an impact on this game. Either it carries you to victory or you get excited and overconfident and start to think like it's already happened and you go out there and fall on your face. I can't wait for 7 o'clock.
Yeah, same here. And he gives three reasons to be confident in Team USA. We mentioned having the best goalie on the planet. And then he says that they're due to get some contributions from at least a few of their top weapons in Austin Matthews, Jack Hughes, and Kyle Connor. If just one or two of those guys can find a way to get themselves going tonight in a way that they weren't able to on Saturday, then that could really be the difference in this game.
So the U.S. hasn't beat Canada in a best-on-best tournament final series.
That's
since the 1996 World Cup of Hockey.
Yeah, they've won. Canada's won four of the last five tournaments they've had. If you go back, you look at the Salt Lake Games, Vancouver Olympics, the Sochi Olympics, the World Cup of Hockey in 16. I mean, they've won nine of the last 13 involving NHL players going back to 1976, the Canadian Cup. So yeah, you wonder why Canada walks around with their chest out and, you know, as that this hockey power when it comes to these things, the numbers will tell you that. The tournament wins will tell you that. You know, they just haven't had a lot of success here lately in Stanley Cups. A lot of those have been, you know, won by teams over in North America here.
You know, and then you could talk about what might happen as a result of the excitement around this. And even though it's not an Olympics, it's starting to take on an Olympic type of feel. Players and coaches are saying they want the game to have an impact on fans and players in the U.S. like the Miracle on Ice did in 1980. That probably started the chain of events that allowed us to reach the point that we have now. It's staggering how long that has been, 45 years, almost a half century, you know, and maybe it'll take that long or even longer to bridge the gap in the U.S. But U.S. coach Mike Sullivan says that event in U.S. hockey inspired a generation of players, my generation. I think this group that we have in our dressing room have an opportunity to do that and inspire the next generation, and I think they recognize that. I mean, at that point, 1980, hockey was a distant fantasy here in the great state of Texas, and now you have hockey rinks popping up all over the place, and everybody has somebody in your social circle whose kid is fanatical about, you know, playing junior hockey or, you know, continuing along that amateur development path. Mike Modano has a great point on why this game has this interest and level of feel to it. The first one happened in Montreal. Tonight's game happens in Boston. A lot of these showdowns are on a completely other part of the world. Says the people in Boston are brutal. They're going to be loud and rude and crude. It's going to be a crazy scene. It's hard to duplicate that when you're overseas. There's a time change. You don't really have a home crowd. So this does.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does certainly make for good television. I can't imagine the energy that's going to be in that barn tonight.
Yeah, it will be the thing that, you know, we talk about the goaltending and stuff like that, but these turn into winner-take-all games. If you do go back, and I was doing some research on this stuff, if Bennington, Jordan Bennington, the Canadian goalie, he has won a game 7 in Boston to take the cup. So he has that winner-take-all experience where your goalie doesn't have that. So even in that building, yeah, you know, if you want to look for things as Canada, go back to the 2019 Stanley Cup final, and you get a situation where he was the net miner that night for the Blues who beat the Bruins in that building in a game 7. So at least he has those kinds of thoughts going into this match.
And Canada's Bennington, he gave up 2 goals third period Monday night.
Yeah.
You know, and for whatever reason, their coach is staying with him. I guess they don't have a better option. Obviously, super talented guy. But I feel like in moments like this, if it was an NHL game, they'd say you always bet on the hot goaltender.
Yes, especially when he's the best on the planet.
Well, that's John Cooper is the Canadian coach. He's the Tampa Bay Lightning's coach, and my man has got some Stanley Cup rings to his credit as well. This has got to be completely, you know, a gut feeling here that, hey, we're going to ride this thing through. Their plan was we're going to ride it through, and Jordan Bennington is going to be our guy. But you're right, though. If you start to be a little bit of, like we say, leaky in goal, you know, that could play to the U.S. advantage. But U.S. did a great job with last time out with their, it's like I say, the number of hits that they were able to get, the dumping and then hitting, you know,
that's setting the tone, man.
Yeah, that's why I brought that up about the potentially of the Canadians giving up the puck because of all the forechecking, all the pressure that they were feeling, you know, that the Canadians were feeling. So, It should be a hell of a game tonight. It really should be.
Yeah, and the patriotism is on the line here.
Yeah.
And so I know we're fired up about that notion, especially when you're kind of playing with house money, with like all the pressure on Canada here to remain at the top. And here was Paul Bissonnette on Pardon My Take talking about what type of crisis Canada is going to go into if they lose to USA tonight.
I would say for a week straight, everybody's going to argue about the lineup decisions. There will be conversations of blowing up Hockey Canada and restructuring the whole thing. There'll be dialogue about how youth hockey specifically is far too expensive, how much it is to rent ice, how much it is to buy equipment, how the common man has been weeded out. So it would be safe to say, yes, it would be a national emergency if we lose that game on Thursday.
I'm here for it, man. I want to see angry Canadians running around realizing that their number one thing, the thing that they care about most in life, is now yeah. USAs.
Just a matter of time, right? As we have grown this sport tremendously well, it's become a Southern sport. Yeah. Like, you're getting access to all of our best athletes, not just the hockey families that happen to live in a northern state. Everybody's committed to this. And, you know, with our population advantage, with our resources advantage, you know, where America throws money at youth sports like nobody else, it was an eventuality.
We're doing a much better job of now building arenas or giving ice in these southern states, is like you talked about, you know, the growth. I mean, you think about winning Stanley Cups in Carolina, Florida, you know, with the Lightning, and now with, you know, with the Panthers, you know, that you're now having a bigger commitment. It's kind of the commitment that we were hoping for like U.S. soccer, the willingness to, they keep building fields, but and you're trying to develop talent, but we're starting to develop more of these hockey players because we're building more arenas or more areas to have ice time so these kids can all play.
All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Play-by-play of this bad boy coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. It is a time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Woolchuck doing the KMC Masterpiece with Hagee today.
Crushed it.
Majors is sick and Baskey was out, but we'll catch back up with Woolchuck. We have breaking news. Lucius, what's going down?
Why don't you guys probably look at the interwebs real quick here?
Oh my goodness, I love this. This is a fun moment. Huh?
Zach Cowboy news,
Zach Martin
just refreshing our.
Oh,
balls
that's hitting.
Off. Martin. What's hitting with Zach Martin right now?
Yep. That's the text Brian showed me about 5 minutes ago. He's going to retire.
He's going to retire. Yeah,
that's surprising. You know, I thought Baltimore would be interested. I was reading today. Baltimore Ravens have interest. Kansas City Chiefs have interest.
Yeah,
you know, and if your projected value was in seven digits, it's not like they're asking him to take a massive pay cut. He could have got 10 plus million a year. He's like, nope, I'm good. We've kind of been getting that vibe from him for like the last 3 years that maybe when his contract was over, he'd be done. I never believed it. He was still really good in pass protection last year, even though he was playing compromised. He'd still be one of the best 15 or maybe even top 10 guards in the league.
Yeah, one of his best friends is Travis Frederick. And I think after he got injured, that he and Travis Frederick sat down and had a conversation. And I think it got emotional. I think it really got emotional for Zach that this could very well be the end. And, you know, he was kind of talking in a way, well, I don't know, I'm a free agent, we'll see. But I think that after that conversation with Travis, that he made a decision that he's likely was going to hang it up. And his best friend kind of talked him through it, and he made the decision. So, yeah, it's a... That's a hell of a football player right there. You know, if you look at overall Hall of Fame guy one day, for
guarantee.
Sure, with the way that he played.
34 years old, would be 35 in the middle of next season. He's played 10 years. The injuries have stacked up on him, and he's made, according to Spotrac, I mean, $112 million in career earnings.
So, okay.
I mean, the need to play, unless you're just so still in love with the grind of football, there's really no reason to.
There's a lot of pain involved, you know, and not just from the injuries that he sustained in recent years. And he was always great at playing through injuries.
Right. I love this, though, because I mean, would it have been cool if he was able to remain healthy for another season and be able to go win a title somewhere, not named Philadelphia or Washington? Sure. But also there was the opportunity to go out there, be injured, try to play, and be a shell of yourself. And you got glimpses of that for a good chunk of this past season. Do you want to go out being not the version that you remember yourself?
And you avoided like the catastrophic injuries that might impact the way that you walk for the rest of your life. And that can have impacts down the line, as I'm finding out, with your hip and your back. Like, he can still likely play with his grandkids in 15 or 20 years, or, you know, whenever that comes. So, hell of a career. And I love the fact he starts and ends with the Cowboys.
Yes.
You always get an extra gold star on your resume when the career ends like that. Top 10 at 420 time, Chief. Where are you taking us?
Let's honor Luca with the greatest out-of-shape athletes in sports history.